Last week I told you that I thought it quite appropriate that in preaching through the fruit of the Spirit, that patience was the topic last Sunday evening as we embarked upon the week of preparation for the wedding. And I think it's also appropriate because of what has been demonstrated to my family and me this past week that kindness would be the topic tonight. In fact, if there were any other topic that I would even feel more compelled to speak about because of our experience, it would be gratitude, because we are so thankful for the kindnesses that you have demonstrated to my family and me, particularly, well, all of our lives, all the time that we've been here, but particularly this past week. We can't thank you enough, but I do want to thank you more in every way that I can. But there were four women sitting at Starbucks in the corner, at the corner table. But their eyes, as they were visiting together, their eyes were also focused on the cash register. Because you see, the four of them had pooled their money and had bought a Starbucks card. And they had instructed the cashier to pay for everyone's order until the money on that card ran out. And so they would sit there and enjoy each other's company and then enjoy the expressions on the faces of those customers who found out that their order was paid for. But it wasn't unusual for these four women to enjoy this kind of thing. You see, this was the same group of women that spent a cold Saturday morning sharing hot chocolate and to kids and parents at a junior high soccer game. The same group of women that potted dozens of pansies and distributed them to residents in the local nursing home. The same group of women that when their friend Marcy was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, they hired someone to clean her house once a month so she would have more energy to spend with her teenagers. And what was remarkable about this group of women is the sheer joy that they had in doing these kind acts for other people, even complete strangers. The fruit of the Spirit, Paul says, Galatians 5:22, is kindness. Kindness. The word is used many times in scriptures. In the scriptures, Colossians 3:12 is another instance where it says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." Clothe yourselves with kindness. I like the way one man applied that principle. A very kind man once said, "Every morning I put on my glasses, my pants and shirt, my jacket and my cap. Then I picture myself putting on the overcoat of kindness. And I wrap it all around me and pray that I will touch people through my kindness today." And this man did touch the lives of hundreds of people with his acts of kindness. He mowed lawns for sick neighbors. He raked leaves for the elderly. He gave away recorded lectures and books to those that he thought might benefit from them. And he paid camp fees for needy children. And when he passed away, his funeral lasted for more than 3 hours as people from all walks of life shared their encounters with his kindness. He clothed himself. He sought to clothe himself with kindness, and it touched many, many lives. Listen to 1 Thessalonians 5:15. "Make sure," Paul writes, "that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else." Be kind to one another and to everyone else. What is kindness? Kindness means noticing someone else and recognizing his needs. It means seeing the value in every person we meet. It reflects a desire to serve others. I like this statement: "The spring of kindness is honest concern about other people. And the guideline for showing kindness is respect for other people. The spring of kindness is that genuine concern. You have your eyes watching out for opportunities to help someone in need. You're not being kind, one writer says, no matter how generous your deed is, if you're condescending and haughty in performing it. You're not being kind if you pull the person down and denigrate or belittle his worth by saying, in essence, I'm doing for you what you should have been able to do for yourself. To be concerned without being condescending, to be merciful without being manipulative, to be helpful without being haughty. These are godly expressions of kindness. Put most simply, kindness is one's willingness to become involved in another's need. Being willing to become involved in another's need. So what does kindness do? Simply put, it sees a need and responds. We get so wrapped up in our own lives, our work, our families, and whatever it may be, to the point where we can fail to see the needs of those around us. But kindness sees a need and responds. Not only sees it, but does something about it. Isn't that what Jesus was teaching in the parable of the Good Samaritan? Not only seeing the need, but responding to it. We need to clothe ourselves with kindness so that we don't stop and think about whether we should be kind in a certain situation. That kindness is our constant companion. We're constantly looking for opportunities to display it. It sees a need and responds. It brings joy. Making kindness a way of life brings great joy, not only to others, but to ourselves. We get a lot of joy out of demonstrating kindness to others. As one person wrote, no act of kindness is ever wasted, for it works a miracle in the heart of the giver. Another writer said, love and kindness are never wasted. They always make a difference. They bless the one who receives them. And they bless you, the giver. Kindness is the oil that smoothens the friction of life. But there is a word of caution. Kindness may be rejected. What are we to do? We're to be kind anyway. It's not our responsibility to make people respond positively to our expressions of kindness, because each of us has the capacity to receive and to reciprocate loving kindness, or we can reject it. But our part is to be kind and realize that by so doing, we're really taking a risk. We're risking that these expressions of kindness may not even be noticed, they may not be appreciated. But we're to be kind anyway. In spite of the risks, we're called to keep on showing kindness. But kindness softens hearts. One husband relayed this experience. I had been harsh with my wife, cutting down her ideas and telling her that she was not logical. I raised my voice and told her exactly what I thought, and she walked out of the room, and I returned to the ball game on television. 30 minutes later, she walked in with a sandwich, chips, and a Coke all neatly arranged on a tray. She placed the tray on my lap and said, I love you, and then she kissed me on the cheek and walked out. I sat there thinking, this isn't right. This is not supposed to happen. He said, I felt like a jerk. Her kindness to me overwhelmed me. I put the tray down, went into the kitchen, and apologized. Perhaps this wife was demonstrating the kindness of authentic love, and it softened her husband's heart. That's not the reason that we're to practice kindness, is try to manipulate someone. We're talking about doing things to benefit the other person, whether it's reciprocated or not. Doing things for other people, kindness is because of the need, not because of something we have to gain. I read about Doug Nichols, who was preaching in India. And he began to cough, and he was later diagnosed with acute tuberculosis. I used to be able to pronounce that term. Tuberculosis. He was sent to a sanatorium to recuperate, and he was surrounded by people, sick people, all of which did not speak his language, or most of which. But he would offer his fellow patients gospel tracts, and they all were not interested at that point. And one night, as Doug Nichols lay awake, he was unable to sleep because of a raspy cough, and he noticed an old man that tried to get up out of his bed. But he only fell back exhausted and crying. And the stench from the old man's bed the next morning brought loud insults from fellow patients. He'd been unsuccessful in his attempt to get up and go to the restroom, and nurses roughly changed his bedding. One slapped him. Nichols watched as the old man curled up in a ball and wept. The next morning, about 2 a.m., Doug Nichols awoke again, and he saw this same old man trying to get up out of bed. And this time, without thinking, Doug got up out of his bed, lifted the frail patient, and carried him to the bathroom. And when he had finished, Doug carried him back to bed, and jabbering in a language that Doug did not understand, the old man smiled profusely and kissed him gently on the cheek. When Doug awoke the next morning, in front of him was a steaming cup of tea served to him by another patient who spoke no English. And after serving the tea, the patient motioned to Doug that he would like one of those gospel tracts that he'd been trying to get them to accept. Throughout the day, says Doug, people came to me asking for gospel tracts. There were nurses, doctors, hospital interns. Over the next few days, several came by to get those tracts from Doug. He said, I simply took an old man to the bathroom. Anyone can do that. But you see, kindness can soften hearts. I love this statement. Kindness has converted more sinners than zeal, eloquence, or learning. Not only does it soften hearts, one act of kindness often provokes another. I was so interested to read about Jeff and Christy Leland. They had a baby boy, Michael, who the doctor said only had weeks to live unless he had a bone marrow transplant. But the problem was, this bone marrow transplant would cost $200,000, and the insurance company wouldn't pay it. And on Jeff's teaching salary, the couple could not afford to pay for it themselves. Well, some of the students where Jeff Leland taught at this junior high school in Kirkland, Washington, learned of this plight. And so Damien, one of the most picked on kids in the junior high where Jeff worked, brought in 12 $5 bills, the entirety of the bank account he just emptied, and handed it to Jeff. Well, the principal of the junior high school got wind of this and took that $60 that Damien had given and opened up an account. And the students began to try to raise funds, and parents and the community learned about what was going on. And in less than four weeks, Damien's act of kindness has sparked a citywide drive that raised $227,000 for Michael's life-saving transplant. And seeing the influence of just one child's act of service, the Lelands launched Sparrow Clubs USA, a nonprofit organization of school-based clubs that provide opportunities for kids to help other kids in medical crises. And since 1995, Sparrow Clubs have raised millions of dollars, and hundreds of community service hours have been logged by children inspired to help sparrows, if you will, who are in need. But just one act of kindness can spark many more. I like this statement from Amelia Earhart. No kind action ever stops with itself. One kind action leads to another. Good example is followed. A single act of kindness throws out roots in all directions, and the roots spring up and make new trees. The greatest work that kindness does to others is that it makes them kind themselves. Scott Adams wrote, "Remember, there's no such thing as a small act of kindness. Every act creates a ripple with no logical end." One kind act often leads to another. But perhaps our greatest motivation to be kind is that it glorifies God. Jesus says, "Take heed that you do not your charitable deeds or your acts of kindness before men to be seen by them, otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, when you do an act of kindness, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be done, may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you." The greatest motivation to be kind, to do charitable deeds, is that it glorifies God. So why be kind? Two simple reasons. Number one, because God is so kind to us. Because he's so kind, he's so good to us. Ephesians 2, 6 and 7. "And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus." Grace and kindness are linked together in that passage. In fact, kind deeds are always acts of grace. God, in giving us Christ to die for our sins so that we might be saved and have eternal life, is an expression of his grace and his kindness. God is kind. Therefore, we should be kind. And secondly, because God wants us to be kind. Ephesians 5:1. "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children." The next verse goes on to say, "and walk in love," which would mean also walking in kindness. And that's how we're to imitate God, because he is kind and he wants us to be. Look at Luke 6:35 with me. "But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil." He is kind. The Most High is kind to the unthankful and evil. It's easy to be kind if we think that by extending some kindness that it may be reciprocated to us. That someone might be kind to us in return. But Jesus is saying the Most High is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. He makes his sun to rise on the just and the unjust. He sends rain on the good and the evil. His kindness is extended to all. And so the unnatural way of conduct is to love as God loves, to be kind as God is kind, to give without expecting anything back, to be charitable without selfish motives, to show kindness without waiting to see if it's appreciated. That's the way God loves. Sunshine and rain, good gifts are given to all people by a kind God. That's what he calls his children to do. To develop a lifestyle that exudes kindness to every person. I love the statement by William Penn. I expect to pass through life but once. If therefore there be any kindness I can show, or any good thing I can do to any fellow being, let me do it now, and not defer or neglect it, as I shall not pass this way again. What a wonderful motto. To clothe ourselves in kindness and to commit our lives to demonstrating the kindness that God has given to us by seeking those opportunities to be kind to others. Again, it's because of his love that in his kindness he gave Jesus to die for us. And perhaps there are some that are ready to respond to that great kindness, that great grace, by giving your life to Christ even this evening. If you need to be baptized into Christ, if you need the prayers of the church on your behalf, why not take this opportunity? But may we also, as we leave here tonight, be determined to share the kindness that God has extended to us by seeking out those opportunities to be kind to others. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come right now as we stand and sing?